From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief, Chloe, August 10th. The morning read 10 things in health worth the 8 minutes. Let's get into it. First, from Peter Attia, MD. #403 peptides, separating scientific promise from marketing hype. A recent meta-analysis of 17 clinical trials looked at the effects of peptides on muscle mass and strength in healthy adults. The results showed that peptides did lead to significant gains in muscle mass and strength, but the effects were generally small, around 1-2% increase in muscle mass. This is comparable to the effects of other supplements like creatine. The analysis also noted that the quality of the trials varied, with some studies having small sample sizes and short durations. It's worth noting that the peptides used in these studies were mostly short-chain peptides, which are thought to be more effective than longer-chain peptides. However, the analysis did not find a significant difference in effects between the two types of peptides. The researchers also highlighted the need for more high-quality studies to better understand the effects of peptides on muscle mass and strength. The study's authors acknowledged that the results should be interpreted with caution, given the variability in trial quality and the small effects observed. They also emphasized the importance of considering the potential risks and side effects of peptide use, particularly when combined with other supplements or medications. A key takeaway from this study is that while peptides may have some scientific promise, the evidence is not yet strong enough to recommend their use as a treatment for muscle loss or weakness. More research is needed to fully understand their effects and potential risks. In the meantime, it's essential to approach peptide use with a critical and nuanced perspective, rather than relying on marketing claims or anecdotal evidence. As Peter Attia notes, we should be careful not to normalize treating real drugs carelessly, and instead prioritize evidence-based approaches to health and wellness. Next, second from MedCity News, Ravart Bio's 380. $2 million IPO for heart drug leads a big week for biotech IPOs. Ravart Bio's initial public offering IPO raised a massive $380.2 million, but that's not all. Their underwriters also bought more shares, bringing the total to nearly $440 million. This clinical stage company is working on a heart drug that could potentially compete with a top-selling medication from Bristol-Myers Squibb, which treats a type of heart muscle disease called cardiomyopathy. It's worth noting that cardiomyopathy is a relatively small market, but the competition could still be significant. Up next, third from MedCity News, MedCity Femme FWD, Employer Strategies for Women's Health. In this episode, we're joined by Cheryl Larson, President and CEO of the Midwest Business Group on Health, for our first in-person recording at MedCity News' recent Bulse Eye event. The post MedCity Femme FWD, Employer Strategies for Women's Health, appeared first on MedCity News. And then, fourth from G Thanks, last few hours of 25% off my fav inexpensive jewelry. It's all about beaded stacks in 2026, but I'd like to think we were a little ahead of the curve on this one. Everything is 25% off. These pieces are where I would start buy and stack 3-5 of varying lengths, and a bobble bar bead kits and custom bag charm kits are 20% off right now, which is a big deal because these only go on sale a few times a year, March, August, and Black Friday. The rest of the year, they're excluded from site-wide promos, no matter how many site-wide promos there are. Next, fifth from Healing the Source, the avocado oil deception. You're made with avocado oil chips are probably not made with avocado oil. UC Davis just published a study testing 54 processed foods labeled as containing avocado oil as the only oil ingredient. Chips, mayo, and salad dressings, bought from stores and online retailers in 2025 and 2026. Up next, sixth from Lindsay Max Complexity Edge, why you outgrow your life every 1 to 2 years, the myth of stability. So it turns out that the idea of a stable self is kind of a myth. Our brains are actually wired to evolve pretty quickly, every 1 to 2 years or so. This can be really disorienting, because it feels like our lives are changing in big ways, and it's not always comfortable. We might feel restless, or like we're losing our sense of identity, or like we're not living up to our own expectations. But the thing is, this is actually a natural process. It's like our own personal growth cycle where we're constantly updating and changing. This process can be tough to navigate, because it's not always linear. We might feel like we're taking steps forward, and then suddenly we're not sure who we are or what we want anymore. It's like our whole system is shifting, and it can be hard to keep up. But the key is to lean into it rather than trying to fight it. When we resist this process, it can be really painful. But when we learn to ride the wave, we can actually use it to shape the next version of ourselves. It's worth noting that this process is especially common in people with high-capacity, neurocomplex minds. These are people who are naturally more curious, more creative, and more open to new experiences. They're also more likely to feel like they're not fitting into traditional molds, and that can be really challenging. But it's also a sign of their own unique strengths and abilities. The good news is that this process is not a sign of failure or instability. It's actually a sign of growth and of our ability to adapt and evolve. So, the next time you're feeling restless or unsure of yourself, just remember that it's okay. It's normal even. You're just going through your own personal growth cycle, and it's going to be okay. And then, seventh from MedCity News, two differing POVs emerge about the Hinge Cylinder deal. So there's been a recent acquisition in the healthcare space, with Hinge Health buying a company called Cylinder. This deal is interesting because it means Hinge Health is now expanding into gastrointestinal, or GA care. The question on everyone's mind is how employers will react to this move. Some experts think that employers will really value the convenience of having a single company, like Hinge Health, that can offer a range of services, including GA care. Others, however, are not so sure. They think that employers might actually prefer to work with specialized companies that focus specifically on GE care, rather than a more general healthcare provider. This is because GE care can be pretty complex, and employers might want to make sure they're getting the best possible care for their employees. It's a bit of a debate, and it's not entirely clear which way things will go. It's worth noting that Hinge Health has been expanding its services pretty rapidly, and this acquisition is just the latest example of that. The company has been trying to position itself as a kind of one-stop shop for employers who want to offer their employees a range of healthcare services, but whether or not this strategy will pay off remains to be seen. We'll have to wait and see how employers respond to the deal, and whether Hinge Health can really deliver on its promises. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. New here? Grab your own free feed at storyflow.com. It only takes a few seconds.